G'day and welcome to Leaders of Men. I'm your host, Nick Warner. In a society that yearns for legitimate male role models, I speak to men that are forging the pathway to a healthy, integrated masculinity. Dan Doty is a writer, wilderness guide, men's work leader and somatic meditation teacher, and is a global leader of the current men's movement. He is deeply steeped in nature and committed to practicing and sharing work that brings our wildness and our love out into the open. Dan has spent substantial time as a wilderness therapy guide, an inner city high school teacher, the director of hit hunting show Meat Eater, and was the creative founder of Everyman. He's been a three-time guest on the Joe Rogan Experience, has been featured in Tim Ferriss's books, and has given talks around the world on masculinity. He currently runs intensive programs with small groups of dads and men who aspire to be dads. Dan's the kind of guy you want to sit around a campfire with and just listen as he drops little pearls of wisdom. If you are a father or almost a father and you have the chance to be part of his programs, I'd highly recommend it. I hope you enjoy.
The function of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers. Leaders of Men.
Dan Doty, it's a pleasure to have you on Leaders of Men. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here, man.
So you've had two rounds on the Joe Rogan podcast, and first round on Leaders of Men. You're moving up in the world, mate.
Three on Joe.
Oh, you're on three now.
Yeah.
So what does masculinity mean to you?
What does masculinity mean to me? It depends on the context and the moment and what I'm engaged in. I think in certain conditions and times, masculinity and femininity are more confusing and more less helpful than a lot of other things. That's not my answer across the board, but I do think that for a great amount of people, or at least at a great amount of time, it's hard, if not impossible, to bring those terms up in any conversation without, I would say, almost impenetrable subconscious forces coming to play. The want or need to fit our own being into certain qualities or percentages or, you know, needs to be a certain way. So that's one answer, which is not even nearly my full answer. The another answer, I could probably come up with fucking 15 different answers to this question, but another one that I hold as true for me in this moment would be the principle of the seed, or I almost imagine us like a singular sperm, like lit up with clear, brilliant, sacred light, like that tiny little piece of information or energy or whatever the fuck it is, and it just, you know, pops into communion with something else and is part of the combinatory process of creation. Right. That seems to be an active principle. As a father, like actively, you know, creating children with my wife, or as a creative, as an artist, as what it, all of these things, there is an element of that piercing, leading, you know, powerful, explosive energy that lands for me. And then the final thing I would just say, as an esoteric practitioner, as a Buddhist, as a Vajrayana Buddhist myself, it would be again, it depends on the tradition and lineage that you look at, but in my own practice, it would be endless open awareness, the Dharmakaya, the clear open expanse of pure space that is the ground of all the, you know, universal reality.
One piece I want to drop onto first is that how polarizing the term masculinity is, and how some people are just like, "What? No, it's not like that. It can't be that way. It's offensive. Jesus. It's
Well, it's there's a reaction there, but I think it's a justifiable reaction also, just because of the way it actually operates in the world, right? You know, the whole fucking world tends to grow up in a way, you know, we're all reacting to the boxes that we are put in, right? And there's a huge push against that. Like, don't fucking box me in any way, right? And it's complex, man, and it changes depending on where your mind state, your energetic state is. Like, the that term and the trappings that go along with it affect us incredibly differently depending on where we are and how we're operating.
Was there a catalyst that got you into mental work? Was there a defining moment that shifted something for you?
Yeah, I was 27 and I lived in New York City. I was a inner city high school teacher. I was in a long-term relationship that I was deeply committed to, but also couldn't handle. And I didn't know how, and I didn't have the courage to move on. And I was lost. I was totally fucking lost. And I also had like a burgeoning spiritual reality happening in my life. And I was actually what really did it is I was cheating on my girlfriend at that time. And just that simple fact began to dismantle my whole concept of myself, because I was a good man. I was an honest person. I was a caring, loving dude. And all of a sudden I was acting out of very, 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 what seemed to me at the time, very out of character. And so there's this course of events, and I ended up telling her, and it was like watching, you know, slow motion implosion, just a complete identity implosion in me. And it was a very, very sharp lightning bolt, clear moment of change in my life. And right after that, I began like in a dedicated way working with plant medicine, and I found my Buddhist practice, and I started going to therapy, and I also found my first men's group. And so I literally just went to a dinner party in New York City, and a German dude was there, and he invited me into his men's group. I'd never heard of men's groups. I didn't know what the fuck it was, but I went. And that completely, it added to a clear line of passion, and I would even say obsession, that I'd had throughout my 20s. I spent my early 20s leading groups of young men on wilderness therapy expeditions. And so I sat around a fire in circle with males, with men, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of days. And then I had never done it for myself. And so here I am in my late 20s, my life's falling apart, and I found a circle to sit in with other men. And I was like, holy fuck, I'm in.
Seems to be a common thing with this, the first men's circle you go to, is like, where has this been my whole life?
Totally.
This is, man, what I've been searching for.
Totally. Totally.
I've had that comment a few times from men that have come to mind, and just like, dude, like, I've been looking for this for years. It's like, yeah, it's when the time is ready, you show up.
Yeah, that's one interpretation. I also just think it's a functionally deeply, deeply human thing. Just even the very basics. You sit in a circle and you're able to see the faces of other people that you project as important, or peers, or someone to measure against. And you can actually, like, it's the most human thing in the world for our social mammalian wiring to pop on and to actually have any sort of feedback in a direct way, right? And I'm not even saying like the give me feedback. I'm just saying like seeing their face, you know, the deeper human connectivity that we all have to be there. It's fucking as human gets, right? It's literally to be around a fire, or to be whatever, huddled together. It's how humans survived throughout human history. And so I think that we can make up all kinds of stories about, oh, it found me at the right time, whatever. And I think, sure, maybe it did, but it's also anytime you find that and you have that deep resonance of human connection, that's the right fucking time. Anytime's the right fucking time to have that nourishing human contact.
You have one child already? Or two?
Two.
And then one on the way. Two, yeah. One on the way. Boys or girls?
Two boys, and now we're about to have a girl.
When they reach 12 years old, what is the most significant thing you think they need to know?
Well, that the ultimate place for, I would say at any age, but it probably starts to take a new shape around 12 or 13 is you're fucking cool how you are. You're good. You're good. You're you. The you that's in there is good. And we're going to just keep revisiting that, right? We're just going to keep coming back to there. It's an affirmation of their very, very basic truth, you know, very basic nature as to be seen and affirmed. But that doesn't start at 12. That starts from day one, you know. But it changes. Maybe the other thing to layer in for 12 or 13 would be shit's going to get intense. And let's make sure you have good, solid love and connection as shit gets intense.
What's an uncomfortable truth about you?
That I'm a 39-year-old, very dedicated husband, father, and I'm still very much working through layers of things that feel very adolescent and out of control and hard to pin down, the whack-a-mole game of, you know, getting one part of my life all the way together and it popping up. So one uncomfortable truth was that, you know, as I sort of stepped forward and really gave everything I had to the men's work path, the prior company I helped start or started Everyman, like in many ways, it was the most clear mission focused, beautiful, successful thing I've ever done, but I was completely broke the entire time and it fucked me up and it fucked my family up and it hurt and it didn't work. And it took me a long time to disentangle myself from that mess. There's still a lot of dysfunction in my life.
Yeah, totally.
When
was the last time you cried in front of someone else?
This morning. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just working with the client and really, which is so deeply touched. Just so deeply touched by a coming home moment, a moment of recognition of who he was and just recognizing the like beauty of, yeah, the beauty of finding, without saying too much about it, but it was a man who went through a really, really intense week of something occurred in his relationship and it was very, very real that this relationship he had given everything to may fall apart and may have actually be falling apart in the moment. And he found a way to really just show up and not shut down and not close off and keep giving his love while he was being completely gutted, just gutted, you know. It was fucking beautiful, man. It was really beautiful.
When was the last time you were out of integrity?
Yesterday. I'm working with a nutritionist to, I caught it, right? I caught it. But I was out of integrity. I'm working with a nutritionist and I'm sending him pictures of everything I eat for the next 7 months, right? So it's like really high integrity. And I ate a peanut butter cookie and didn't send it to him for about 20 minutes. And I went back downstairs and I'm like, motherfucker. And I sent him the picture of the cookie.
That's some dedication, mate. Well done.
But listen, it's because it needs to be that way, right? Like, that's a place it's really easy to get out of integrity. So it's not fun, but
yeah. What are you most afraid of?
In this moment, it's hard to land on something. Missing out on my, I don't know, like have been really peaceful with death most of my life. But at this point, if I don't want to die and miss my children, being separated from my children, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have kids, but I can imagine that once I do, that will become the majority of any fear.
Yeah.
That they are safe, that I get to experience their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your deepest desire?
I mean, I guess it's to go all the way in this lifetime, you know, to not hold back at all, right? Spiritually expand, you know, I am uncomfortable saying the words, enlightenment or whatever. I don't really believe I have a sense of what that actually means, but I'm pretty committed to not fucking around this go around, you know, so going all the way, whatever that means.
That's a pretty strong goal.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
I sat in a extended silent retreat for a bit, and it was 40 days. And for me, that was like beyond my edge. And there was a dark room at this space, and there was a guy, and I did a dark room for 11 days, and I like that was beyond my. Some motherfucker was sitting in the dark room for 60 days, and I'm just like, that's not in this life. There's certain levels, and I got to a certain point, and kind of that was where I was okay with, and that was my end. But then I just look at these people. Another guy, like there was another, I started this journey kind of intensively when I was beginning my 30s. And then I'd be somewhere and I'd meet a 19-year-old kid that's been doing the same shit for the past couple of years. I'm like, well, that is not the path that I was on when I was 19.
Yeah.
So that is a really, really beautiful sign of hope. And it's also inspiring to know that there are kids on this planet that are just doing the shit that I'm now kind of the past 6 or 7 years getting into.
Let me give a slightly more nuanced answer to your question, and that would be to do my best to go all the way or whatever the fuck I just said, but in the context of a full householder in the midst of relative life, right? It's not so much about me going off to attain or some other thing. It's about like the using the life that is right here, right now, at all the times as that entry point and making that integrative sort of sacred opportunity that everything is, you know? That's, I would love to do 40 days, I would love to do a dark room and all that shit, but like, I'm not, maybe 20 years from now, when my children, you know, move off, then I'll go back to that. But that's not reality, right? And so I think what's exciting to me and what I am most dedicated to is just to be awake, you know, while I'm fucking cleaning the dishes and telling the kids to go to bed, you know.
And I think it must be a thousandfold more difficult once you have that family. Because it's a whole new world.
It's easier.
It's easier once you have a family. Than it used to go sit in the cave.
I believe so. I believe it's... So one of my closest friends, you know, she studied with a teacher for a long time. And at some point in the ashram, her teacher said, hey, listen, if you want to actually... Like, it seems like you're pretty dedicated here. And she said, do you want the fast path? And my friend said, yes. Yeah. She said, go get married and have children. And I agree. I couldn't agree more. Because it's life, dude. It's life unfolding. Like the heart open that I can get in a retreat all by myself is one thing, but the heart open with the beating heart of a child laying on your chest, like no fucking competition, right? And the need for presence and the accountability for presence from your little children right there looking at your face, watching everything you do all fucking day long, no competition. Like the need to really partner with someone deeply, and my wife to show up and create this, like, this sense of love and continuity and openness, like no fucking competition. It is the crucible. It is the crucible for all of these things. And I think it is a fast path.
Beautiful perspective. Yeah. You're shining light on that.
That's the heart of my work. That's the heart of my work today. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm showing up for fathers right now, because the possibility that comes with fatherhood is fucking magnificent. It's magnificent.
What is it? Oh, that's perfect to the next question. What is it that you are creating?
Yeah, I'm creating a life that is in alignment, you know, not only for me, but for this family that we're building. And that means we have a little beautiful house in the woods on a piece of land in a community that is small and connected and healthy and safe. I'm building a business and a way to express my gifts that is, again, very much designed in alignment with that. So I feel really wildly grateful. I don't have to hold back in terms of what my offerings, right? I get to just express clearly, but it's built in a way that is, you know, financially lucrative, but also not overbearing and taking me out of the family, right? And it's a tightrope, right? There's a lot of elements to that. But I guess there's a rhythmic life, deeply connected to nature, that allows for the expression of my and my wife's, my children's truth to come out. That's what I'm creating.
Beautiful. What would you love for men to know with every fiber of their being?
That they're okay as they are. And that ultimately, once it's all seen through, there's not really anything to be afraid of.
Bonus question. If you could carry one memory from this life, all other memories are obviously erased, into the next life, what would it be?
That's a good one. I mean, my initial reaction is I don't want to carry one, because that would mean that I have to come back, right? So that's my first is no. that I'm not going to bite. If I had to bite, I don't know why, but it's the first thing that comes up is I was probably 23 and I woke up in the middle of the night sleeping on the ground in the mountains in Western Utah in the desert. And I wear glasses, obviously I wear glasses, but I woke up and I saw like a color tone to the air that I'd never seen before and put my glasses on. And so I was leading one of these wilderness trips and so, you know, there's kids and another, you know, everybody's scattered around just sleeping under the stars on tarps, and put my glasses on and looked, and the moon was rising over a nearby mountaintop, and it was blood red. It was like blood red, like a little bit orange. And it just like, I don't know, something popped. Something just completely popped inside of me. And I felt that, I guess the word would be cosmic. If you could divorce the word cosmic from everything that you like imagine about cosmic or whatever, but it just felt like these massive bodies of elements flying through the endless expanse of a fucking space. And I just kind of felt like I was gripping onto one of those two big rocks and looking at the other one. And it was just a, whoa, it was a wow, 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 wow moment. I think about that all the time, actually.
Well, is there first of all, where can men find you and what have you got on offer?
Yeah, dandoti.com is the home base. I'm on Instagram as like _dandoti_. What do I have on offer? I consult organizations and teams and leaders, generally C-suite teams. I do coach one-on-one in a transformational sort of intensive capacity. I run wilderness expeditions and meditation retreats. And my main offerings, which are more and more focused on this, are small group, long-term intensives, 4 or 5 month intensives. Fatherhood Unlocked is for men who are already dads and want to take that fast path opportunity. Fatherhood Ready is for dudes who are about to become dads and want to do some of that rite of passage work up front and clear out their space and get ready for that big job. So that's what I'm up to.
So for the guys that have just had kids, because we were talking about this earlier, a very good mate of mine is like literally 2 months old or something.
Yeah.
That's the Fatherhood Unlocked.
Yeah. And that's for dads of all stages, right? A lot of times there's a moment after baby number one or number two, and it's just like, okay, holy shit, I need some, you know, like, I need a little support here, but it's also, I have men in there who have been dads for 20 years also.
Amazing. Oh. Our brother, thank you so much for your time. And it was a really enlightening conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, man. Be well.